Okay, brothers, let's finish this, our fellowship. So I know there are more questions and other things about the morning revival time, and to kind of segue into my burden in this third meeting, I would just say that the church is a farm, is God's farm. And it's a living place that grows produce. And of course, that produce ultimately is Christ. We're here to produce Christ. But not just Christ by himself, but Christ in the saints. So the saints' growth is really the building up of the church. The growth of the body unto the building up of itself in love. And so we have to build up a local church. You must pay attention to the saints' condition and their growth in the Lord. I say again, we've got to eradicate permanently from our mentality the thought that administrating the church is to run affairs, just making the lights are on, the chairs are set up, and schedule is made, and announcement is done, and checks are signed. Those are so, so peripheral. They are necessary, but they are too, too peripheral. We should spend the least time on those things. I have been to elders' meeting. That's all they talk about. The elders' meeting is to talk about these things. I said, forget about this church. Well, you know what I mean. There's no future. We should spend the least time to take care of these things, as they should be. But the most of our energy and time should be spent on the saints as leading brothers and responsible brothers, about their condition, about their growth, about their situation. That's called shepherding. And in the long term, this kind of shepherding work will build up. I am here actually using this monthly meeting to help us brothers how to build up a local church. Okay, so this family training is a means, or one means to that, a very important means. So you should make use of this training to serve the saints, to shepherd the saints, to help them in these matters of life, and to live a overcoming, a revived life, and so on. And we're going to move on. We're going to talk about the next thing is they need companions. You see, we all need companions, prayer companions, to pray together, to have much and thorough prayer, etc., etc. And then we're going to go on to these companions, we call them vital companions, is with a further view of taking care of people and even speaking the Lord to others in a very organic way. But by then we're talking about revive people. It is not just another demand, another activity, another what. That doesn't work so well. Okay. So back to the farm. So the church is a farm, like a garden, like a plot of land. Now, you may be a great farmer or expert, and me, I just don't have a green thumb, right? I'm just not good, okay. But I will tell you, even I'm not so good in the back of my yard, I can still put some tomato plants, right, down there, and read the book or whatever, and put in the water, and you know what I mean, the kind of things you do. Let me tell you, just because someone spends some time to do that, something will grow. Now, totally, I'm not the expert. My tomatoes are this size and not this size. But at least they come out this size. Why? Not because some angel came. Because some man, without a green thumb, did something, and something grew. So here is a principle. Brothers, I actually tell you, your gift, your smarts, your ability is not the main thing. I'm not saying that is not important, because we're all being given gift from the Lord. I mentioned that last time. And we should be faithful to use those gifts. But something more important than that is what? Is your tending to this garden, your care, your spending time, even though you're not the expert, but you spend the time, I tell you, there will be results. Your smarts may not take you far, but the faithful tending, saint by saint, plant by plant, right? Plot by plot, in time will yield results. So here's my burden in this third meeting. And actually, I had a whole bunch of verses, but we don't have the time for that. This morning, I want to leave you with just one word, and that's labor. That's it, labor. Not gift, not even, in a sense, ability, but labor. So you could at least write down these references, okay? It's not complete, but anyway. Acts 20:35, which is Paul's word, last word to the elders in Miletus, from Ephesus. The last word, and you read that verse, Paul will talk about his toil or his labor. Can you find that verse? Acts 20, what, 35, right? In all things I have shown you by example, Paul, by example, that toiling in this way, we ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, here he is specifically talking about how he worked, Paul worked, to take care even of his co-workers, that he didn't covet any, you know, money from the saints, etc. But you have to take this in the context of the entire word by Paul to these elders, and that is how for 3 years, he said, day and night, I didn't cease admonishing each one of you in tears. He talked about how he did not serve as a slave with all humility and tears. Paul liked to talk about his tears, how he didn't withhold anything that are profitable by declaring them to the saints and teaching them publicly and from house to house, and how he charged these, how he did not shrink from declaring to the saints, the counsel of God, and how he charged these brothers to be real overseers and shepherds of the church. So you see here, brothers, a view of a man in Paul who was a pattern for 3 years to these brothers in Ephesus in the matter of toil. You know, the word labor is not the word work. It means hard work. It means wearisome work. It means exhaustive work. That hence the word toil. And, okay, so let's go on. Romans 16, that famous chapter of greeting. Verse 12. Actually, verse 6 talks about Mary who labored. But verse 12 talks about Persis. This person named Persis. It says, Persis who labored in the Lord. Who labored in the Lord. And then, of course, the end of 1 Corinthians is full of the word labor, chapter 15. In verse 10, Paul says what? I labor more than they all, these other so-called apostles, by grace. And then in verse 58, he says, our labor, speaking to the brothers in Corinth, our labor in the Lord is not in vain. Of course, he was talking about this labor being in resurrection. And so it will not be in vain. But the point I want to make this morning is, brothers, labor in the Lord. That labor will never be in vain. In fact, then in chapter 16, in verse 16, still 1 Corinthians, it talks about what? Everyone who labors, can you take a look? 1 Corinthians 16, 16. Subject to such ones, yeah, and to everyone co-working and laboring. So he talked about actually the household of Stephanus, the first fruits of Achaia there, and they have set themselves to minister to the saints. Again, the context is they're ministering, caring for the saints. That's the labor Paul was referring to. So another verse, there are others, of course, the famous verse that we all know, Paul, in Colossians 1:29. Colossians 1:29 about what? About for which I labor, that is for the growth of every saint, every man in Christ, by announcing, admonishing, teaching, etc., and eventually presenting. For which I labor for this, struggling according to the operation which operates in me in power. That means this beyond human. It takes so much that the human ability runs out. You need another power source, and that is, of course, God's operation in Paul. To struggle and to labor and to bring the saints into maturity. Then I'd like you to write down 1 Thessalonians 5:12. 1 Thessalonians 5:12, I believe, talks about the leading brothers. Furthermore, we ask you, brothers, to acknowledge those who labor among you and take the lead among you in the Lord and admonish you. Here, the labor is put together with the elders, the leading ones, as if they should be the one, the main ones, who should labor in taking the lead. Again, the word labor. Then I finish with 1 Timothy. Again, these are pastoral epistles related to the church life. And so 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, you have Paul saying, "For this, to this end, we labor and strive." This includes Timothy as well, who was in Ephesus, because we have set our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, etc. So the context here is talking about laying these things before the brothers, be a good minister of Christ Jesus, and so on and so forth, in the context of the caring for the saints in the church life. Chapter 5, 1 Timothy 17, where it says, "Let the elders," again, elders here, "who take the lead well, be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who," what? "Labor in the word and teaching." Now, anyone who have been in the word knows it takes labor. You just don't sit down and read the Bible like a novel and... No. It requires laboring. I can say a few words about that because I have to speak, you know, on these things. And okay, then finally, 2 Timothy 2:6. 2 Timothy 2:6, it talks about what? The laboring farmer, see? Now it really talks about the farm, the God's farm. The laboring farmer must be the first to partake of the fruit. Okay, so I think that's plenty. There are other verses in the New Testament. But, brothers, this morning I just have this burden. And that is, brothers, don't just serve. Labor. Labor. There's a difference. Don't just work. Labor. Don't just barely do the job. Labor. Don't just sort of fulfill your minimal responsibility. Labor. That distinguishes a special church, a good church, from a common one. Not to say the common is not good, but you know, from a particular church that has the Lord's grace, that has the Lord's blessing, it doesn't happen willy-nilly. Someone labored. So here again, I like to just testify to you as a learners, as one of the learners under Brother Lee. He always talked about himself in this way, that in China when he was with Brother Ni, two things that is prominent with him. And he tells us that. It's almost like no one is like that. Number one, he had no opinion. Whenever Brother Ni would say, "How do you feel, witness?" You say, "No opinion. Just tell me what to do." So after a while, Brother Ni stopped asking him, because he never gets an answer out of him. That's Witness Lee. Okay. Number two, he said, "I just know how to labor, like an ox." You know, one of the face of the four living creatures is an ox. He said, "I just know how to labor. No opinion, labor." My goodness, brothers, I aspire to that. I absolutely aspire to that model. And Brother Lee was that living model. And he taught us this. Just don't have so many opinions. You know, people who like to talk, they don't like to labor. They have all kinds of fancy ideas, but they don't work. They don't labor. Now, we're here looking to the Lord to raise up another generation of brothers, leading brothers, responsible brothers. I would say even if you never become an elder, you just bear some responsibility in a district or even in a small group. How about just in a small group? I tell you, the same thing applies. And I've seen brothers like that. Actually, more than some. And when you see that, you just know everything's okay. You know, things are okay. Because someone is putting their heart and soul and energy and time into something they care for. Whereas I go to places, they talk of a good talk, they just have all kinds of ideas and, you know, do this, do that, this and that. I don't have much trust in that. I don't. So, I am quite burdened this morning to just tell you this very, very simple thing. You said, how do I raise up the church? Labor. Now you say, how? I won't tell you how. You just labor. You just labor. You know, Brother Lee, he labored until he died. He literally, well, maybe not literally, but he that's what happened. There was not one day he eased up. He took a break. I mean, I don't mean he never rested, but you know what I mean. He's a laborer. That's what he is. He is a laborer. And I must say, I learned this from him. I try anyway to learn this from him. And today, I'll tell you, when I'm not laboring, I feel very condemned. Very condemned. Very out of sorts. Very wrong. And when he was here, Brother Lee, he was the leader. So whatever he say, we we just go do it. It's hard to say we never made him that happy. Because of his high standards, and now today I'm here with some brothers helping to take some lead. That's all I know what to do, and I must tell you, brothers. This is the secret sauce. This is the secret sauce. Just labor. Just labor. You know, one day, I think in one parable the Lord gave in Luke or something, he said you have to pay something for the poor or something like that. And he said, the poor will never pay you back. You know. But he said, one day you'll be paid back. At the resurrection of the righteous. Something like this. At the resurrection of the righteous, you'll be repaid. So What I'm trying to say is, brothers, you look at the Lord speaking, especially in the parables, chapter 25 of Matthew. One day, the Master will reward our labor. So that's why Paul has such a hope. Our labor in the Lord is not in vain. And brothers, not only one day there will be a reward from him, but I would say even today, while we're living in this age today, I testify that there is already reward. You say, what is the reward? Well, didn't I give you that message concerning the crown of boasting? Yes. Didn't I give it? I don't know even when I shared that. I have a whole outline, 2 pages on the crown of boasting, referring to the saints. Paul says, you are my crown of boasting. You are my glory. Something, you know, like that. I tell you, brothers, if we labor, even today, the saints are our reward. The saints that you help, that you save, that you shepherded, that you help get through something, to grow, you help to bring them into service, into usefulness. They are your reward, even today. Forget about that day. Even today. So I like to see in this kind of a new starting of in the Bay Area, in the Northern California, that this would be our prevailing culture in the leadership, in the eldership, in the among the responsibility bearers. And there's just not many opinions. You know, talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. We need substantial labor. Now I'm attaching myself to some degree to Fremont. You know the Fremont, the brothers in Fremont, right? So I'm coming up here every time. You know, today after this 3 messages, I have to stay with them for another 5 hours just to get into Fremont stuff. And let me tell you, Fremont stuff is tough stuff. I think I made a mistake. To sign on to Fremont, it was a bad mistake. But I signed on. I couldn't extricate myself now. I wish I'm in a little church somewhere and drink some lemonade and some Hong Kong milk tea, and I'll be a happier guy. But no, I sign up for Fremont. With the problems of Fremont, the history of Fremont, with all manners of things. And now we want to renew the church in Fremont. That's tough. That is beyond human ability. I mean that. There's something that has no solution. You know, you better find that out sooner the better, so you don't keep going trying to solve problems. There are problems that will never be solved, and they're not meant to be solved. They're meant to make us grow and be transformed. So leave it at that. But still, there's a great need here. 200-300 saints. And then you throw in Union City, you throw in a Hayward or whatever. Oh my goodness. And we're all scratching our head, what to do. Really? That's how things are. You know, we can go to a conference, everything is super glorious in New Jerusalem, you know. Then you come back to this head-scratching stuff, like where do we go from here, you know? It's crazy, you know? But brothers, that's it. That's how it is. So you complain about your church. You say, if I have this or I have that. You say all kinds of things. I have no solution for you. I'm too busy in Fremont, you know. But I have an answer, Amen. Brothers. Labor. Amen. The Lord honors labor. Amen. Even you labor wrongly. Not as an expert. You just have a heart for the saints. You just have such a burden for your church. Amen. Your time, your energy, your consideration, your prayer is just with the church. I tell you, something will happen. Amen. I guarantee you, something will happen. If not today, the next day. If not this year, next year. When I went back to Irvine, I was never in Irvine. When I went to Irvine, it was the scene, the visual, it was these pictures, Civil War pictures of the battlefield with dead horses and smoke coming out and a few corpses. That's the picture. It was an aftermath, a war zone. And those of you who were not in that rebellion, you couldn't appreciate what I'm saying. You think I'm exaggerating. Really that bad? Well, it was very bad. So there I was. Now what? And I tell myself, it's time for reconstruction. We're going to build up the church in Irvine into a major church, a strong church that contributes to the Lord's recovery. Amen. So we roll up sleeves and start. Oh my goodness, the work. It's like you go forth one step, you slip back three steps, you tried this, didn't work. You know what I mean? That's labor. And you keep working. And 1 year, 2 years, not much happened. 3 years, still not much happened. You just work and work and work and work. That's all you could do. You get up, you go to work again. Monday night, you get with the brothers again. And you just take care of this, take care of that. This saying, that saying, this situation, that situation. Tell you today, you got a church there. Not because of me, but because of a co-labor of brothers that is built up to a certain degree. And I'm proud to say Irvine is a giving church. We give people away that are trained over time to a proper church life, and wherever they go, they'll be useful. And we'll keep doing that. Keep doing that. So I say that under the Lord's covering as an encouragement to all of us that just labor, dear brothers. Now, I think we should take Paul's, especially him as a pattern for us. And the main, there are many areas of labor, right? But primarily that labor is I mentioned a few areas, if I may. Number one, labor in prayer. Prayer is a labor, by the way. Prayer is not just a work. Prayer is a labor. But, you know, Peter said, but for us, we will give ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. So, brothers, even to pray for the church and the saints, either individually or with your co-serving brothers. It's a labor. You know, in our elders' time or gathering, you should not spend really that much time on arrangements, arranging this, arranging that, and these things. Devote more, do those things offline. Devote more time to pray for the saints. We don't even pray for the saints. And we just go work and go give announcement and go teach. Have you prayed for them? Sometimes even by name. I mean, these prayers add up. This kind of labor add up. Sometimes you need to pray for this couple. Pray for that family. Or pray for this sinner. You know what I mean? The prayer. The second thing is to labor in the word. Now, not all of us will become teachers and, you know, ministers. But even if you're not going to be that kind of so-called public speaker, you and I need to labor in the word. Because the word is our capital. The word for our business. If you don't have the word, you have no capital. You have nothing to give and share. You're just hot air. You're just air. And I've seen plenty of leading brothers just air. They sit in the meeting. They just wait for the last act, which is called announcement. That's when they stand up and give an announcement. I said, what is this? What is this? Clearly, this person have not labored in the word. It's just kind of... He's been around, you know, he has some seniority, he knows what to say, you know, the right spiritual slogans, you know, drop a few here and a few there. No labor. No labor. And I don't mean you just labor for that week. I mean just to get yourself knowledgeable of the word. You know, we're going to get into another module on being equipped for the truth for a normal church, proper church life. And brothers... We think, oh, now I'm an elder, I've arrived, and now I just give announcements. No. Do you know what a leading one should do is to know the word, labor, and serve the word to the saints for their exhortation, for admonition. You know, let the word of Christ dwell in you, right? In this way, minister to the saints? No. So the saints are starving. How many churches are full of starving saints? Famished. Yeah, we got a great library, but that's the library. That's not you. You have nothing. And the saints suffer. They don't even know. So that's second. The third one, I would say, labor... by visitation. This is huge. I still like to see in the whole Northern California there is a habit built up among the leading brothers to visit the saints. Not to check up on them, not to go and make them feel condemned, not just to go and fight fires, and there are fires to fight, but not for that. But with a real heart of a shepherd, you just care. You know, sometimes a good visit is even a visit without any doctrine presented, some points. It's just your presence and your prayer behind the scene and your genuine care for that saint. That does it. That does it. A brother just passed away, and last minute I wrote something to one of the family members. It was just a text, you know. It's not even a letter or an email; just a text, short text. Then the text came back and say, "Oh, brother, thank you for caring for us. This means so much to us, you know, this and that, this and that." It was just a text, you know, just a little text. But, brothers, do you know a lot of these so-called small gestures? How much it helps? How much it supplies? You don't know. Care for the saints, brothers. Care for the saints. Visit them. I think it's a good practice to have set up time to visit. Just an hour, okay? Maybe Lord's Day afternoon, it's always a good time. Saturday is harder because it's free day for everyone. Sometime on some weeknight or something. It doesn't have to be two elders, you know, like problems coming, you know. And the opposite of visitation is invitation. Mm. Brothers, invite the saints to your home for tea, for a meal, for dinner. You just don't know, you know, how much that does to the church. It works wonders. With no agenda, okay? No agenda except a heart of care, except love. That's all you have in your heart is love. And the Lord will take care of the rest. So, visitation and invitation, right? And then another area of labor is in the meetings. The meetings. We do need to upgrade our meeting life gigantically. But that takes labor, you know. A good prayer meeting doesn't happen. Someone labors on it. A good Lord's Day morning or home meeting. Home meeting. Some home meeting are flourishing. Some meeting are perpetually dying. It never died, but it's always dying. Sardis, it's always about to die. And who wants to go to that home meeting? Because no one is tending to that plot of land. Everyone is, who is bringing salad tomorrow? That's all you think about. There's no care for the people in that group during the week. And we're going to get into vital companions, twos and threes, that will help in all of that. Home meeting is huge, brothers. I think in many churches, the home meeting are not built up yet. That's why the church is not strong. Structurally, the church is not strong. We need to work on this. Not only every single saint, but every single home gathering. Then the church will be strong. You will see. The church will flourish. All right. I just say that much. Of course, there are other areas of the services of the church that you need to help to guide or help to build up and this and that. And so this is not just for elders. This is for deacons, right? Not just for elders, but for deacons, those who are involved in the practical services, they also need to labor likewise. Okay. Let me end with this. It's 1 o'clock. I went to Campbell last week and gave, even by my own grading, a pretty good message. And because the subject was good. The subject was good. And with that, I created actually three outlines, and I gave it to some brothers here on grace. On grace. Based on three verses in Acts. Acts 4:23, Acts 11. No, 4:33. See, I forgot. Forgot three verses. Anyway, it's in Acts 4, Acts 11, Acts 13. All of them concerning the grace. The first verse about great grace was upon the church in Jerusalem. The second one is about Barnabas saw the grace of God in the church in Antioch. The third one was an exhortation from the apostles to another Antioch. Antioch Pisidon. And there he exhorted them to continue in the grace of God. I just used those three to create three outlines. But my point is this, brothers, is to come back to this verse in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, where Paul said, I labor more abundantly than they all, but not I. Not I, but the grace of God which was with me.
Amen.
Brothers, I'd like to encourage you. The source of your labor is grace. Grace means not only God enjoyed by us. Grace means this Christ in us who is doing everything in us and through us and for us.
Amen.
Brothers, we have such a Christ.
Amen.
That is the energy source of our labor, even above and beyond our human capacity. There are many times in the church life you feel you're running out of energy. You feel the problem is just so overwhelming. You've come to unsolvable situations. The enemy attacks, and all kinds of things can happen.
Amen.
Brothers, that's the time we need to take grace, because we cannot do it,
Amen.
To continue our labor. So I have just full of hope for the churches, as long as the brothers are laboring there. Okay?
Amen.
I think this is good enough. How about we just have some prayer and some quick announcements? Huh?
Amen.
Amen.